Well, Daniel, we've got the man. Boy, I want to tell you.
He broke the story, Brad.
Great reporter. He
Columnist,
broke the story.
Former state representative, has a great blog, dailyructions.com, and he is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Kevin Rennie. Kevin, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
Boy, that is really a low-key answer. How did you... You know something, Kevin, though, I got to give you... I got to tell you. You got guts. I mean, to break a story like this, I said on the radio, I don't know if you heard it or not, I said, you know, generally we need three sources before Kevin goes with a story. He's so conservative, he needs six.
Well, I just think it's important that a lot of this was playing out in various ways in public. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like GE where they kind of made an, they made an announcement that they were conducting a search, and then the search was got a lot of attention. But Aetna's been looking in Boston. That's been well known. I had been hearing from others that they were looking in New York, and also, the relationship between Dan Malloy and Mark Bertolini, the CEO of Aetna, has not been a secret at all. It's been, you know, it's been a really a disastrous relationship for quite some time. The other thing is, every day, you and I are we're talking about Connecticut's deteriorating finances and what that means for its future, and certainly people who are in business and a business like, the insurance business is by its nature averse to risk and uncertainty. And when they see what's going on in Connecticut, insurance people are going to be particularly alarmed and sensitive to it.
Well, I think that's the next question, Kevin. Does the legislature, does our governor get it that the whole modus operandi needs to change, or otherwise we're going to have more Aetnas leaving the state?
Well, I'm disappointed in the reaction. At least the public reaction has been, I had a very close-up look at this on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, as people were sort of saying, "Well, it can't be true," or "I don't think it's true," "It's not true," and then as others were confirming that indeed it is true, that they suddenly said, well, this has been in the works for a long time, and what matters is where the CEO wants to be. You know, I can't imagine that in 164 years of Aetna being in Hartford that there weren't some CEOs who might rather have lived somewhere else, had their company somewhere else, but they stayed here.
That's right.
This is about more than just cultural changes of where young people want to work. I mean, that is some part of it, but... It would be a catastrophic error to shrug at these reasons and just try to go about business as usual. This is my column that is on the current website now, be in Sunday's published paper. You know, this is GE was not an isolated incident. This now we are living in a trend.
We're living in a trend.
Well, I mean, wow. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yep.
Can the state turn itself around? Or so are we so deeply in debt that it's impossible to turn it around?
Well, I have to say that as all this was happening, that Len Fasano and the Senate Republicans, it's been a long time since I was a member of their caucus, but I think they've been in the forefront of creating and then announcing and pushing proposals that start us on the road to recovery with a budget, for instance, that doesn't increase taxes and that starts making some fundamental changes in how we pay for our services and the people who provide them.
Kevin, you know, I've been here like you have forever. And I have never seen, honest to God, I have never seen anything like this. Never.
Well, yeah. The pessimism is turning into despair, and that's dangerous. Of course, when you're living in it, you don't always know when you reach the tipping point. But boy, I'll tell you, the number of people who are just really desperate to get out of Connecticut
yep.
is disturbing. And of course, the ones that I find most ironic are state employees who say they want to retire and get out of Connecticut because it's so expensive to live here. And when you try to explain why it's so expensive to live here, that they're not really interested in hearing that explanation.
Well, they believe that they've made their concessions.
That's right.
So how do you sell them on the fact that it's not enough?
That's part of it. Well, I mean, you just show them the numbers. And I will say this. They have a point, which is that the 2011 tax package and some employee concessions was really oversold as solving Connecticut's problems. And it didn't. And frankly, truth took a battering from Dan Malloy in the years that followed, especially when he was running for re-election and he essentially claimed that he'd solved all our problems. He became a deficit denier of the first order, and now we're living with the consequences. But I don't think that, you know, I think that one of the issues that these company CEOs have is that they signed on to his tax increase in 2011 thinking that there would be much more reform within state government.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And then it hasn't happened. And then the next time they increased taxes, those same business people weren't happy, Kevin.
No, they weren't. And they took a beating on those taxes. This time, the first time around, it was in 2011, the direct impact on their businesses wasn't as great as what was proposed in 2015.
Say, Kevin,
I think there was a real sense of betrayal on their part as to how this was unfurling.
There's a lot unfolding, Brad, including the fact we can't get a budget by June 7th.
Can you imagine? And Dan and I are going to be doing a broadcast, Kevin. You might want to drop in. We're going to be over there on the 7th doing our whole show from there, and we won't have a budget till a month later. He has done a great job over the years. You read him regularly in the Hartford Courant, and he was the one who broke the big story that Aetna is getting out of town. They are leaving. I'm talking about Kevin Rennie, columnist, blogger, and a former state rep himself. He is our special guest, Daniel.
He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Brad. Kevin, what do you make of the fact that the leaders for both the Democrats and the Republicans did announce yesterday they're not going to have a budget when the legislature adjourns on June 7th?
Well, I may be taking a contrarian view on this, but no budget is better than another terrible Democratic budget. So I'm willing to wait if it means that we get a better deal. I think that's what's going to matter. It's important. I think one of the most important things that has to happen is that deal that the governor struck with the labor unions has to be rejected. You can't think that Connecticut's we're going to have a chance at a meaningful recovery with extending the benefits deal until 2027. Turning a bad 20-year deal into a bad 30-year deal is not the way to make things better.
Well, the governor's got a sore arm patting himself on the back. He thinks it's a great deal, Kevin.
I know he does. He thought the others were great deals, and look where we are. And he also said we weren't going to have any more deficits, and look where we are. He has been a complete failure. It is just astounding that Dan Malloy and Luke Bronin are in these high offices in Connecticut, and each one is a failure. This is not a time where we can afford this kind of leadership.
Okay, what do we do? What do we do? We've been through this governor after governor. We said it was going to end. It never ended. What do we have to do? I said yesterday to Dan, we've got to get somebody to run, okay? He's elected for 4 years, and he says during the campaign, look, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. If I'm not reelected, it's okay, because I'm going to try to accomplish what I want and what Connecticut needs in the next 4 years. Can we find somebody like that, Kevin?
Well, I think you can. I mean, I think that you can use at least as a starting point the Senate Republican proposal, the most recent one, that addresses these new budget deficit figures, and start making legislative changes, not negotiated changes, legislative changes in our labor relationships, and then you know, making other changes in terms of, well, for instance, we can't have a deal that says no wages for no wage increases for 3 years and then wage increases the guaranteeing wage increases after that. We can't do that. We don't have the you know, if recent past performance is any indication, we're not going to be able to afford those. So it's going to take some very hard decisions. And you're right, you have to have someone who says, look, a candidate who will say, understand, believe that they may be a one-term governor.
But that individual needs the legislative backing, so you've got to give that individual support.
They do,
support.
But they're close. They're close. And the other thing is, governor does have a lot of power. Does have a lot of power in Connecticut. And I think that a Republican governor is close to having a Republican legislature. I do think, you know, Connecticut is certainly very Democratic in its instincts and party registration, but you really can feel a change and growing frustration among Democrats who are going to be willing to give change a chance. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, when I saw that Kevin Lembo, the state comptroller, was exploring a race for governor, started off by saying something's got to change. I thought, well, he is not change. He does not represent any change. Certainly Nancy Wyman, if she decides to run, is not going to be someone who's going to represent change. They're all part of the problems that have gotten us where we are.
Let me ask you this. Do you see tolls and casinos in our future?
Oh boy.
There's the sigh.
Well, I'd say this, you know, when it comes to tolls, it just makes me think it's never enough, is it? Never enough. And so, you know, why do they insist on continuing to punish us? Why do they continue to punish the people who are staying here? I don't think we're going to see them this year. Mm-hmm. And then this is why it's good we have frequent elections in the United States. And and I think if it becomes a hallmark issue in a legislative campaign around the state, I think that the voters would send a pretty emphatic message.
You know, Kevin, the newscaster from Channel 3, Mr. Denny, had a report this morning, an early report, that if we go with tolls, it will cost over a seven-year period every homeowner in Connecticut $7,500. Then I had a call from Springfield, Massachusetts, what it cost from Lee, Massachusetts to Boston, $350 million.
To install the tolls.
Well, you know, the tolls on the Massachusetts Turnpike were placed there years ago to pay off the bonds for the construction of the turnpike.
Yep.
Those bonds were paid off a long, long time ago. I do wonder this. How are tolls going to make Connecticut a more attractive place?
That's true.
Right.
Tell me. Well,
yeah, I don't have an answer for that, and I don't think there is a good answer for that. And when it comes to the casino, I'm still waiting for an answer to the fundamental question, which is, where is the Indian reservation land in East Windsor, Connecticut?
Yeah.
Because I've lived near East Windsor for a long time, and I represented it when I was in the state senate, and no one ever pointed it out to me. And you know, under the Indian Gaming Act, which allows the tribes to have their casinos, they're supposed to be the predicate to that is reservation land. Well, there's none in East Windsor, and this is I do believe that this is an unconstitutional gift to the tribe.
Well, that's the reason MGM is advertising like crazy.
Well, it's one reason they're advertising like crazy, but yeah, it is everywhere, isn't it? It's remarkable. I think that in the House of Representatives that that there's not sufficient support for the casino in East Windsor, the gift of a casino in East Windsor. I think we're sort of tying ourselves in knots over gaming revenue, and there's no evidence, at least I haven't seen any, that even if the Indian casino is defeated in the legislature, that MGM has a proposal to build a casino in Connecticut. I haven't seen any. And the minute we issue a license to a state to a casino other than one operated by the tribes, under our agreement with the tribes, we would lose the money that they pay the state each year. I'm for the status quo on casinos in Connecticut. It's been great for the tribes to be in southeastern Connecticut, which is where the reservations are, and I just don't see a reason to change that.
Kevin Rennie. Kevin, we thank you for hanging around for a little bit longer. Columnist, blogger, and former state senator, and of course broke the big story that Aetna is leaving town. Kevin, thanks a million and continued success.
Thanks, Kevin.